Hello and welcome to another edition of Conversations of the Heart. As always, it's your boy T Till. We have a very, very special esteemed guest here in Bloom. Today we have a very, very important guest, a person that I've gotten to know a little bit, a person that is doing amazing things in the family therapy space and in some other spaces that we will get into. But I want to welcome to the show Toshiba Davis. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, certified body and mind life coach. She's a published author and a personal development and training specialist. She has worked in acute behavioral health hospitals, nonprofit organizations, and established her private practice a few years ago. That's amazing, especially for a woman of color. Toshiba's heart for personal development training and the fine arts have propelled her in the direction to help others as a life coach by using dance as a way of release. Her passion to help others to overcome hurt of the past, understand their self-worth, and live out their God-given purpose. You can find all of her books, From Stress to Rest and Daily Press on Amazon.com. Please welcome to the show, Toshiba Davis. Much appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I don't take people's ministries lightly. Okay.
Absolutely.
And people's time lightly. So again, thank you. You're welcome and thank you.
Yes. So even though I gave you the intro and I said all of your accolades and who you are, but kind of give the people who don't know from your words, just who is Toshiba Davis?
Toshiba Davis is a woman that loves God, that loves to walk in purpose and identity. Yes, the title, licensed in marriage and family therapist. Yes, definitely a published author. Yes, started my private practice. But my heart though, Terrence, and for those watching, is to encourage, to empower, to uplift women, and for us to walk in our identity, right? I know we'll probably get into more as far as how something started up for me and things of that nature. But as far as introducing myself, that tie, introduce myself, those other things, God has given, graced me, amen, graced me to be able to become licensed, to be able to become an author and walk in that vein.
I love that. And we're going to get into all of those things because
yes.
I'm very, you know, want to hear a lot about the books, your practice. I want to hear a lot about the dancing. But I want to start here. What drew you to becoming a licensed marriage and family therapist?
Keeping it 100, Terrence, that was not me. That was G-O-D, okay? Because for the audience, my bachelor's degree is in communications. And I loved, when I was growing up, I loved the entertainment, obviously, music, TV. So in my mind, I'm like, I'll study communications and then I'll work at channel, you know, news station, move to California, do all, you know, the whole Hollywood entertainment thing. And when I was working, I graduated university, UNLV here in Las Vegas, and was trying to find my way after graduation, maybe trying to remember how many years later, a couple years later or so, I started working at Channel 13.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 13 started in the production department, the camera, the production department cameras, and then got promoted up to doing other various things. And I was like, I want to be a reporter. And even then I was taking the initiative to ask questions, go out with the reporters. And as everybody knows, the news is usually about what? What is the news usually about, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, some bad stuff and always some horrible things. And every time you turn on the news, you're like, oh my gosh, what happened now? Tragedies and everything.
And I'm just like, maybe not so much. And so a friend of mine reminded me, she was like, you have a heart for people, you have a heart to encourage. And just naturally I was like that cheerleader, encourager, uplifter, right? And so my friend had given, she's like suggest looking up social work. And so I started doing my homework on social work, therapists, counselors, and I felt that becoming a licensed marriage and family therapist was the option for me because there was different avenues I could do and different things I could do with it.
Right.
And again, this wasn't in my mind prior to me going back to get my master's. Again, I was trying to be in entertainment. I was trying to start my own business without going back to school. So honestly, keeping it 100, Terrence, school was a cuss word. If you would have said school to me, I'd be like, why are you cursing? Why are you cursing? And so lo and behold, that was the kind of the pathway to me start learning about therapy. And then after I did some studying, I was like, you know what, that makes sense. Because working at Channel 13 wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't fulfilling for me. And that's too how I knew something's not right. Something more I need to do because it wasn't fulfilling what I needed to do.
So funny. Similarly, I studied communication arts too, back in New York, the television production stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
kind of understand what you mean by that. Okay. So I kind of always harp on this, but I have a therapist here and I have a Christian here. I'll just give you a little bit of my perspective really briefly. I have a couple of catchphrases or things that I believe in, right? One of them is God and therapy do both, right? That's one of my things, right? Because I've always felt that, being one, and also I didn't mention you're Black, right? So I've always felt that when you were growing up, Black in the Black community, therapy is taboo, right? Now, when you double whammy this and you're a Christian, my goodness gracious, it is a double whammy. So you're a Black Christian, therapy, talking to folks. You don't do that. Like you keep everything inside, you keep it in the house, right? And so either way, you get shamed, right? From your family if you start talking to folks, or in your community, if you start talking to folks about your issues. Or then they'll label you certain things, right? They'll label you, oh, what's wrong with her, him, her? Like, what is she, crazy stuff like that? You're not supposed to say that word, but it's just, you start, these labels start to be thrown out, these names start to be thrown out here and there, right? And then if you're a Christian, why are you going to therapy? You don't have no faith. You can't just pray about it. You can't just fast about it. You can't just do this about it. Like, now you're sitting here with a whole bunch of trauma inside of you, right? And nowhere to release it. Yes, going to church is amazing. I'm a church kid. I grew up in the church. I understand all of it, right? But as I got older and more mature, I had different understandings of things, right? And I had to understand certain things that doesn't take away from my faith, right? It took me a long time to realize that because once you're indoctrinated in certain things, like you just like no, like no, like you can't say that, like, well, you can't, you can't go to therapy, you can't talk to people, like, because then on the one hand, you got your family saying this, and over here, you got your church family saying, like, so everything is no, and you got to keep everything inside, right? Or you got to go talk to the pastor, bishop, whoever it is that you talk to, right? Who's really not licensed or equipped, right? They're equipped for the soul, they're spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, whatever the case is, right? But there's some real life stuff going on, right? That sometimes you need more.
Yes.
And I always say, listen, if I break my arm, I can't go to my pastor and say, excuse me, sir, can you take care of this here, sir? I'll be like, can you get yourself to the doctor? I can't do
Exactly.
nothing with that. It's the same thing with mental health. You can't do
Yes.
nothing with that. You
Yes.
can do something for my spirit, like, counsel, things like that, my walk with God. You could do things like that. When it comes to things that you've been bound up with,
Yeah.
right, from the past, the people going through real life traumas, and it could be various amount of th different things for everybody, right? So I know sometimes when I say stuff like this, it makes sometimes a lot of the Christians clutch their spiritual pearls, right? Even to this day, right? It's all you got to do is pray, right? And even the old school generation, just drink some ginger ale, you'll be all right, right? So it's just for me, I've always felt that you can do both things. And now there's Christian therapists like you, right? So what's the excuse here? So what is the excuse? That's now I'm asking these questions. So what's your excuse, man? You got Christian therapists now. So what are we talking about? Can we still go get some help? Like, is it still a bad thing? And
Right.
I'm a firm believer in what happens in this house does not stay in this house, number one.
There we go. Yeah.
What happens is, if you have a bunch of trauma, your kids, and you tell them, keep it in the house, what happens in the house stays in the house? No. Because you know what the kids do? they go off and get their own house. And then they put the trauma in that house. And then if you have multiple kids, you got multiple houses filled with trauma from the original house. And then they pass it down. And then it's now you got a whole house, got a bunch of houses filled with trauma passed down. So it doesn't get kept in the house. So I say all that to say, when it comes to therapy, you being a Christian, can you talk from your words? Because sometimes, you know, when I say it, it's like, oh, Terrence, maybe your church hurt. And I'm like, I ain't got nothing to do with no church hurt now. I just talk. I'm just telling you honesty now. So maybe if it comes from a Black therapist who is a Christian, right? Who's not church hurt, maybe it'll be a little bit better to swallow.
Yes, all of that you said, yes, and yes. Okay, from all of that, from keep it in the house, you don't have enough faith, just pray about it, you need to fast for 3 more days, you know, all of that type of thing. So truly, truly understand that. I mean, there's so many, there's different generations, as you talked about, different generations, and we pull from yesteryear, great grandma and them done then this, great grandma and them. I know that there's still people who still have that thought process of, girl, just pray about it. You know, God, you know, Jesus fasted for 40 days. You might need to, you know, do all that. I do believe because society, now, you know, sometimes we jump on, we meaning the world jumps on what society is doing as far as what the world, what is the trend right now. Over the past few years, I do feel that the trend of mental health has been opening up more, the dialogue. And again, I mean, I know we live in this world where celebrities, people go off what celebrities are doing or saying. So, particular celebrity Taraji P. Henson talks about it a lot, you know. So, in today's society, 2024, and some a few years ago, they really started picking it up in society. So now the mainstream is like, okay, therapy makes sense. With that, I feel influence. I feel that some of the quote unquote people in the church have possibly opened up to understanding that. And then two, just because, again, I like you, I've been in church all my life, grew up in church, all of that fun stuff. That, again, everybody has different experience, different ideas, ideologies, and whatnot. So my experience, Terrence, has been, yeah, pray about it, you know, fast, what have you. But my experience when I became a therapist and when I started articulating and verbalizing and sharing that with people, for me, I received an okay, what am I looking for? Not necessarily encouragement, but I felt that it was accepted now. By the time I started walking in that vein, even my pastor's wife, I was talking to her about, hey, I'm a therapist. I was talking about something I remember. And she was like, oh, let me introduce you to so and so. And so she introduced me actually to another. She's like, oh, so and so's a therapist. So for me, I feel that by
Beautiful.
the time I really started expressing that and showing that, it was already starting to, even pastors are already starting to say, yeah, that is needed, because I feel that pastors are starting to finally get to that space of, I can't do it all. Because, you know, as you know, pastors get pulled on so much. Everybody's trying to, pastor, can you pray for me? Call in the pastors. Pastors, can you do this? And I feel, honestly, I feel like pastors are starting to be like, you know what? Go to therapy. Because you calling me every week, so every Sunday, you're going to the altar for the same thing, right? You go into the, you know, we prayed about that on Bible study and Sunday. So honestly, for me, again, I can't speak for everybody's experience, but that the pastors are starting to say, I can't even do that. You need, are starting to really say, you need to go to therapy, because about this over the last, you know, 2 Sundays in Bible studies.
And I'm so glad about that, that's really been your story, because for a lot of people, I find that it's still a struggle. And I'm glad to be able to have this conversation with you, because, you know, if you were a church kid, not a lot of people have been church kids. Some people just started church in their 20s, right? Or whatever the case is, you know, being a church kid, you see a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of stuff, growing up, right? And so I kind of want to talk about the ins and outs of that too, because I find that, or I found, right, that, and this is my own thing. Sometimes, because the one thing I used to do is I used to work a lot at my church. I used to work like when I was young, I was in Sunday school from, young, right? I was in all of the dance ministries and I was in all of those church shows and, speaking and doing all those things, right? Then once I became a teenager, like about 12 years old, I started in the TV ministry. So hence why I thought I started communications and college, right? Because I was doing starting a TV ministry at 12, right? And as I got older, right, like I started to like, man, I'm in church all the time, working in church all the time, right? And then as I got older, it was cool. I mean, it was still cool, right? But then it was like, nah, sometimes I want to do something different. Right. But then I was like, man, there's a guilt about me wanting to do something different. Like sometimes I may want to miss a service. Sometimes I've been like, I'm in church New Year's Eve. I'm in church Christmas. I'm in church Thanksgiving. I'm in church on Sunday nights, Wednesdays. Like I'm like, because I'm working too, right? And there's a responsibility that comes with that, right? And full transparency, COVID hit, right? Then people had to stop going to church. I said, oh God, forgive me. I said, oh God. I said, oh, I get a break, right? I think because there were things also, sometimes you outgrow also, like when you're young, you go in the same place over and over again. Sometimes you outgrow things as you get older. What fed me at 5, 10, 15 doesn't feed me at 33, right? Some things get redundant, and that's nothing on the place that I went or whatever the case, but sometimes you just wanted something more, something different. Especially as you get older, you grow. And so when you have that level of responsibility, sometimes, there's guilt there. Your parents go to the same church. So now it's like, ah, you don't want to stop going there because your parents go. Like it's a lot of stuff that goes on. I think a lot of times, like when you're a church kid and then you get burnt out. Right. And some people will say, oh my God, what do you mean? I'm like, oh gosh, like, come on. Like, you never been burnt out of someplace? Like, it's never happened to you, right? But a job, you never got burnt out of your kids. Right, but it's like hush, right? Like because you can't say that because it's church. I'm like, sometimes I just got burnt out, man. Like I've been doing the same thing for 30 something years, and I'm only 35. Right? So, do you find that sometimes when you grow up in a church that sometimes and you're active, that you sometimes there could be some church burnout, not your relationship with God, but sometimes church burnout?
Yes, and yes, capital, okay, with the exclamation mark. So when I was saying I grew up in church, I grew up in church. I was always in a dance ministry and, did all that. And then when we moved, my mom was in the military, so we moved around a lot. But when we finally came to Vegas, pretty much grew up out here for the most part. But one time at church, I was helping with the youth ministry, like one of the youth leaders. I started doing the church announcements, my church. I was minister in training. So I was doing all of this stuff. And in my mind, I wanted to do it. Like I was like, okay. But I could feel myself getting burnt out. And no disrespect to churches. If they trust, like if they see somebody that is trustworthy and accountable, they're going to use you, right? They'd be like, oh, she shows up on time. When she says she's going to be here, she's going to be here. So I'm not blaming anybody. They're like, oh, just like if anything, if we trust somebody and they've shown us how they are and that they can show up for us, we're going to be like, shh, Johnny always shows up. So yes, that church burnout is real. And then, mind you, I'm still doing all this stuff. My father passed away, right? My father passed away. And in my mind, I'm thinking he passed away March of 2015. Now, mind you, I'm still
My
doing all this stuff.
condolences.
Thank you. Thank you. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I'll be all right. I don't need to rest. So mind you, Terrence, my father passed away in March. My sister passed away in April of the same year. She's sister-in-law. And I'm still, now mind you, I'm working my full-time job. What was going on with me? I think I was still getting my hours for becoming a licensed therapist. I'm doing all this stuff at church. So I'm doing it. And it started showing up later, meaning I started having anxiety attacks. One time I broke down at work. My supervisor was like, you need to go home. You can't see clients like this. And then at church, now mind you, I was in all these ministries at church. I
Mm-hmm.
couldn't even I emailed them, Terrence, I need to step down or I'm going to literally like shut down, because
Yeah.
in my mind I'm thinking I can do it, I'll be all right, but it starts showing up. It started showing up for me, and I couldn't even go to, I emailed them, look, I cannot be in the ministry no more. I'm stepping away. I stepped away from all those ministries. I had to get my mental health. And for me to really grieve, there were so many things going on that year, just emotionally, mentally. Now, yeah, I was about to literally
Yeah.
leave. I
Yeah.
probably didn't have, sorry for the expression, but in a
Yeah.
straitjacket.
Yeah.
So, let alone prior to all that stuff happening, but me being just thinking about, I was involved. I was at church on Wednesdays. I was probably sometimes at church both services serving. So
We got
that
the same
burnout is
life.
real, right?
Jesus got the
It
same
is
life.
so real. And believing, again, God had to remind me. He was like, he goes, I know that you enjoy serving. He was like, you do have a heart to serve, which is not a bad thing. And this is not everybody's. This is just what God had to show me about me.
Yes.
That you have a heart to serve, which is fine. It's good to serve. However, really look at what's going on internally.
Yeah.
Like, are you doing it? Again, you would like to serve, but go deeper, like peel back the layers. Is it because you're wanting validation and affirmation? I was like, wow, Lord. And so by this time I had stepped away and I was starting to do the healing that I needed to do, right? But again, going back to your original, yes, that burnout is real. And if we don't say no, because we're like, we grew up in church, this is what you do. And some things that I've heard people say in church, oh, if you're single, you should be here all the time. That is
Yo.
inaccurate and erroneous programming. If
No.
God didn't tell you, and people are like, if you're single, you should be here all the time. Because if married people, they've got their ministry, their marriage. But if you're single, no, that is inaccurate, and that's not anywhere in the Bible.
Right.
So the again, no disrespect to the church, but I'm in a space right now where I'm learning that sometimes the church, not out of maliciousness or anything, but they tell us things that is not accurate. And then we pick up this programming and we think we have to strive, and that causes a whole other different situation.
Yeah, and then you end up a lot of times from like guilt. I feel
Guilt.
guilty about not about missing this, or I feel guilty about not making this, or I feel guilty about this. And so next thing you know, you're just doing it and doing it and doing it to some point, to a point where it's not even for the right reasons at this point.
Boom.
Before you were doing it for the right
Boom.
reasons, but this
Yes.
now it's like it's a routine, and you don't want to let church down, you don't want to let your family down, you know, you don't want to. It's just you just become that person where it's just okay, routine, even if it's not feeding you just do it. Right. And then when you say these things, it's like, oh, well, maybe your church hurt. And it's like, man, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Like, I'm
I'm
tired.
burned out. Okay.
Burnt out. I'm tired. And you can't understand it because maybe you haven't been brought up in church, and maybe you've never been a church kid. And maybe you've never done these things for years and years and years. And maybe you just started. And maybe that's good. Maybe you started in your 20s, and that's beautiful. God bless. Or 30s. But talk to me when you're 50. Talk to me when you're 60.
Yeah.
Right. But you're talking to somebody who was born in it. Right,
Yeah.
and birthed in it, right? So by the time I'm 33, you're like, I'm like, all right, yo, I am. And then you just, and sometimes you don't know where to go, and you want to hear something funny. It's probably didn't happen to you, it's only happened to me. But I sometimes, honestly, as an adult, like I'm in my 30s now, I've worked in a church so long, I didn't really know how to sit in a church service without doing something. Like to just sit and enjoy a service. Because I'm always, if I'm in a television ministry, I'm looking at it from a different lens. I'm looking at it from camera lens, or from a production lens, or from, and I was doing this, I'm 12. So I'm 12 all the way to pretty much COVID, to COVID, 2022, right? So I mean, 2020, excuse me, 2020,
You're
right?
right,
2020, right?
2020.
I don't even know, right? So that was just 4 years ago, right? So we're talking until I was 34. So we're talking damn like 22 years, right? I've never really just, unless I went to the visit of somebody else's church on the off day, I never really got a chance to sit really, right? And just enjoy,
Joy.
right? So I remember when I started going to a couple of different churches, in my later 30s, I really didn't know how to like sit and enjoy, right? I'm looking around like, okay, like I'm still viewing it from a different lens too. I'm just like, okay, like, and whoever I'm with, I'm making sure they good. That's like, I feel like I'm playing security because in churches, they tell you the men should, be ushers and be, always looking out for the women, that you come with or whatever, just looking out, making sure nobody's falling out, whatever the case is, like, you just, so like, I'm like, it's weird. And I'm like, okay, like I'm sitting down, but like, I'm not, it's like, it feels weird for me, and people are like, how does that feel weird? I'm like, I've always worked. I've always served. I never sat. Right. And and it took me a little bit to even for that to feel normal, right? Even sometimes it still doesn't feel normal. But like I said, that's just been me. And through my story, that's been how it's happened for me, right? But like I said, I'm glad to be having these types of dialogues and conversations with you. And so when it comes to now, church hurt, I want to touch on this a little bit, right? So if a boyfriend, a girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever the case is, they hurt each other, do they call it relationship hurt? A girlfriend hurt, a boyfriend hurt? Or if your coworker wrongs you, is it work hurt? Why is it a label for the church that is church hurt? Oh, you just church hurt, right? Maybe somebody did wrong me in the church. I wouldn't say it's church hurt. I'm just hurt. Why is it church hurt? Right? If somebody has wronged me so badly in the church that I want to leave that church, oh, you just church hurt. But in a relationship, if somebody wants to leave because they've been abused or hurt or whatever, they have the liberty to do so. People don't say, oh, you just relationship hurt. What? Hold on now. So what, why is it that when it comes to church and when people get hurt in the church, they're not allowed to feel anything? Right? It doesn't mean that your relationship with God changes. See, now that's the thing. Doesn't mean your relationship with God changes, but maybe my relationship with that church about to change. Right? And is there anything wrong with that? Because if you go to the doctor and they do something wrong, it's called malpractice. It ain't doctor hurt. It's malpractice, right? Or whatever the case is, and you got to go find a doctor, which is your right to do. In any place, it's okay to change up, go to doctors. And sometimes a doctor might do something so bad to you, mess you up so bad that you say, I'm taking a break from doctors. And guess what? People don't say, your doctor hurt. You should go back to a doctor. No, it's sometimes people just need a break. I'm done. Take a break from relationships because you've been hurt. I need a break to heal. And then I can get back into the dating pool and get, cool. Right? But only in the church do you find that if you get hurt or something happened bad to you in the church and you leave and you need a break, or you just need to just find another one, do you get labeled church hurt?
Not sure.
Why do you feel like this is, right? And again, I'm not attacking the church because I'm, like I said, I love the church. Church has been good to me on a lot of different waves, right? But there are some things now that you got to call out as nonsense. And it's nonsense, and why is it that in the church, if you're hurt or whatever the case, something happens, why do you get labeled that? And why is it labeled, oh, you're just church hurt? They belittle it. They make it small, try to make you feel small because something happened.
I believe, and this again, I'm just coming from my own
Yes.
experiences, conversations with others.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to say unfortunately, but we put church on a pedestal. People view church as, I don't know if you've heard this saying, like as a hospital, right? That if I go because feeling sick, hurt, I should be able to go there and feel better. So people have put church on a pedestal, which is, oh, this is a safe place. This is a place where I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get loved. And unfortunately, people are not able to separate or to Help me, Lord, to, okay, thank you, Lord. We put a person, thank you, Lord, we put a person on a pedestal. So the ministers, those preachers, thinking that they are the, not necessarily the end all, the be all, but may we admire them, look up to them. And so we're expecting, we have an expectation of this minister, this preacher, this evangelist to be warm, to be kind, to be loving. And when he or she isn't, we attach it, oh, they, the church, because they're the church, because we put them on this pedestal, I am turning away church. Everybody is like that. For some reason, I don't know if it's the way society has defined church, but the moment somebody that's on that pedestal hurts us or says something, we attach it, we attach a meaning, we attach it to church as a whole, not just as it's just a person, he or she imperfect. There's been this exaltation of ministers and pastors.
Right.
And we forget, are we, will assume that he or she is more holy when ain't nobody, even the Bible says, ain't none of us holy. But for some reason, they've been exalted. I mean, look at all the wonderful pastors that we call see on TV all the time. E.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, you know, Stephen Furtick, and all these others. And they're seen as this exalted being or person, and we're all human.
Right. And I guess for me, speaking of like the hospital reference, I'll put it to you like this. 2013, my mom has a brain aneurysm, right? And so she gets rushed into one hospital, right? Fortunately, I don't know, this hospital just didn't have the right proper equipment or tools to treat my mom, right? And we needed something like an emergency and fast. And they didn't have the tools. The testing machines, they didn't have it. So they said, oh, you know, so we said, we got to take her somewhere else. Now, if we kept her in that hospital, she would have died. Period. So what I'm saying is, sometimes when a place doesn't have the tools and they're not equipped and it no longer serves you, right? It doesn't serve you. It's, and if you stay there, you might spiritually die. It is okay to make a move for yourself without being labeled your church hurt, right? Or whatever the case is. Sometimes you outgrow places spiritually. And sometimes you, even the people in the church, sometimes it's a free-for-all. It's crazy. It's a madness. People say things to you. People are nasty to you. People backbite you, talk about you. Crazy in the church. People go to church dancing and praising the Lord, and then after the service is over, they'll go to a diner and talk about you. Right? A lot of times, if you and no church is perfect. We understand this. But sometimes, you don't have, it's just like any other relationship. You don't have to stay in a relationship to make somebody else feel better while you're suffering. Right? That's not what we do. You don't have to stay in an abusive relationship. It's just because. Right. And I think when things do happen in the church, historically swept under the rug.
Oh, yeah.
And not just Christian churches, Catholic churches, too.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of things going on out there in, you know, in them church streets. Right. That it gets swept under the rug as if, OK, don't worry about it. Just pray about it. You'll be all right. And sometimes some really traumatic things do happen. Right. So I think a lot of times for me, yeah, stop labeling people their church hurt. Folks, something happened in the church, but that's up to them of how they deal with it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You can't force somebody to stay. You can't force somebody to just stay and put up with it continuously. And it might be better they leave, or they might turn that place out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just always, you know, I always look at things and I'm just like, guys, like, we've got to do better in the churches and the folks who go to the church. We're not holier than thou. And I think that's what also turns people off from the church is people who are holier than thou. Right? Who don't go through things in life. Who don't go through traumas. Who don't go through things, right? And what I've seen a trend of, it's one thing, you know, to be blessed and to have a relationship with God and to know God is good all the time. God is good and God is good all the time. We know, right? We understand this, right? But I think it's one thing when you use God as a shield to deal with your trauma, right? I think a lot of folks, you go to church every week, no problem with that. But they use that and act like they don't have any traumas,
Oh, yeah.
right? And it's just like, oh no, I'm blessed. We know. They got nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
What about further? Like further, deeper, right? Oh no. Hey, listen, bless God, God, you know, whatever I'm going through, God ain't gonna give me more than I can bear. Da, da, da. They spew things at you. Like, we know this, right? Even though people misuse that scripture. That might be another topic for another day. But nevertheless, right? It's like they use God as a prop. Right, especially when it comes to past traumas and past things, right? Not so much medical. I mean, not so much physical, medical, like broken arms and things like that. Oh, they'll go to the doctor for that because you have to, right? But when it comes to mental health, when it comes to what you suffer with up here, the
Yeah.
grief, the hurt, the pain, right? You've used God as a prop. Sometimes God gives you. Sometimes God sends you to the right therapist. Just like you ask God to send you to the right doctor, the right surgeons, the right people to take care of your body physically. Sometimes there are therapists that God can bring you to and say, hey, listen, like go to Toshiba. Let God lead you to Toshiba. That's my child. She will get you right. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like she will get you right up here,
Right.
right? Because she's used by me, right? But I feel a lot of times it's just, oh, no. Bless God, we good. I'm good. And you're just smiling, right? You're just smiling on the outside, using God as a prop, but you're hurting on the inside. And you're going to church, you're doing the right things on surface. You're praying, you're doing all the right things. You're doing all the right things, right? But what if Terrence breaks his ankle? And I just go to church every Sunday. I'm hopping on church on Sunday. I pray. I do my thing. Bless God. And what's going to happen to my ankle?
Gonna get worse. Not gonna
It's
get
going to get
better.
infected. It's going to get infected. It's going to get worse, and I'm going to have multiple different problems, right? And that's what happens in mental health. It's a snowball. Can't hide behind things, but for so long. And people use different vices. Like I said, they use drugs, alcohol, sex, work. I'm seeing now church to not deal with the things that's going on because you want to appear to be the perfect Christian now. No, the point isn't to be the perfect Christian for other people. The point is to be healed. Get the healing you need mentally, right? And put the same energy you will put on any of your physical ailments that scare you, because if you get chest pain, you ain't gonna be talking about bless God, I'm healed. You're gonna be in the hospital. You're gonna be in the emergency room. I promise you that.
Say that.
I've been there.
Say that.
Let you get some walking pneumonia and that chest pain kick you in your chest, and you thinking you're about to have a heart attack. Ain't gonna be no, oh God, I'm being church. No, you're gonna be in the hospital
Right.
praying. You're gonna be in the hospital praying, because you scared as I don't know what, right? So it's the same energy to me that should be placed on your mental health, because your mental health is wealth, man. It's wealth, and it could affect your physical health too.
Yeah.
And these are the things that I really, and people say, man, why do you talk about this? Because it's, I'm passionate about it because I grew up in it. I'm passionate about it because I've seen people suffer, Christians suffer unnecessarily. And it's heartbreaking to see that sometimes, right? Because they're trying to keep up with this facade, you know. And so, talking about this now with you because I feel like I can, and I love it, because you have a lot of good insight, a lot of good information, and I want to kind of switch segues just for a moment into your marriage and therapy practice, right? Because I love relationships, I love the complexities of it, I love all of these things, right? And here's where I'm gonna go. Men, right? Yeah, men. So here's the thing about, I always encourage men to get individual therapy first in life. And the reason why I do that is because a lot of times their first bout with therapy is their wife or girlfriend saying, Oh, we're gonna bring you to therapy and get you right. Oh, you need to go to therapy with me, right? Couples therapy, marital therapy. And it's packaged to men like it's gonna be me and a therapist versus you. We're gonna
Right.
get you right. Right? See, the difference with me, you can't do that to me. You all know you can't do that to Terrence. Why? Because I know what therapy is, and I know what it's supposed to look like. And it's not gonna be therapist versus the man. Because if it is that, then you need to find a new therapist.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what therapy is for. Right? So I understand what therapy is for, and I understand the great things that it can do. Right? So that's why I'm not afraid of going to marital therapy, couples therapy, whatever the case is, because I know what it can do and I know what it should look like. But when you've never seen what it should look like, it's packaged like we gonna get you straight, not us straight, you straight.
Yeah.
So man, like, oh heck no, I ain't going. Dude, I can get that from you for free. I can come home and you gonna try to get me straight 24/7. It's all me, right? So I can get that for you for free. Why am I gonna go sit and speak with somebody else and both of y'all gonna and I'm paying for it? It don't make sense. I can get that from you for free. Cool. A lot of men don't want to go to therapy. So I always encourage men to get individual therapy. One, because we need it. And two, because it gives you a different way of looking at therapy. So you know what it's supposed to look like. So when that comes, you know better. A lot of men don't go to therapy as an individual first. So from a family and marital expert first, right? Like, what do you think about men first kind of getting therapy before even entering a realm of marital therapy or couples therapy or whatever the case is? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree wholeheartedly that men, if they have the right idea of therapy, more men would probably go to therapy. I've had some men, that would come by them that did come by themselves, that I said that some that were married and then some that were single that were had that heart to say, hey, I know I need to tap in something different. So I do believe that men, because again, you're a man. Growing up, men are told and programmed in the society of how to think, how to show up, to, keep your feelings inside, don't cry, why you being a sissy. So men are told from yay high all these things about what it means to be a strong man type thing. So now with this programming, men are feeling like they have to project and be seen a certain way. And if not, just that one show of emotion or crying, they're deemed as weak. So that's why I do believe it is powerful if a man is able to say, hey, I need help, and to show that vulnerability side. But men are not taught that. So then that's one. I mean, there's different factors of why men don't come, but that's one factor of why men don't show up for therapy. But again, I've had some men show up.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, I need it. I'm here. All races, Black, Hispanic, white, all races. I think, but if just that breaking that societal idea of how a man should be, sometimes it's challenging for men to, lower that facade and say, hey, I need some mental help, if you will.
Yeah, I've always said, therapy kind of removes the mask of who you think you are and shows you who you are, who you really are, and who's hurting inside, and what needs to be changed. And I feel like, and I guess that's my battle sometimes with Christian people, because sometimes it's just like, nope, I'm just gonna go to church and bless God every day, and everything's gonna be okay. And it's like, your mental health is gonna really shatter. And
Yeah.
sometimes men, they got families, they got kids. They don't want to show their raw emotion,
Yeah.
right? I gotta work it away, whatever it is I gotta do, it doesn't exist. I gotta just go ahead and make my money and whatever the case is, and just come home and get to my responsibilities and this and that. But sometimes they neglect themselves, and sometimes you see the increased rate of heart attacks, men dying early, right? Earlier than women and things like that, right? Why do you think that is, right? People can draw their own conclusions, right? But a lot of times it's stress related, and people, They underestimate how much stress can hurt them. You know, stress is a silent killer. It causes so many different ailments and diseases and different things that go on in your body, heart attacks and certain things, and aneurysms, and you know, blood pressure, strokes, things like that. You know, and that's why, you know, I want to see our men live longer. I want to see, you know, and yes, work out, do all those things 100%. But but you can work out all you want, if your insides ain't right, if your mind ain't right, at some point it's gonna catch up. That's just the way, that's just what it is, right? And so, you know, I always like to encourage men to go in there, because also it gives you different tools to work with. So now you have different tools in your tool belt to work with. By the time you get into a relationship, a marriage, or whatever the case is, now you have different tools to work with, how to engage with your partner better, how to communicate your issues with your partner better,
Yes.
right? Because I think sometimes men just don't. Oh, I don't want to bother her, or oh, I don't want to bother. I don't want to put a stress on this person. Oh, I don't want to do this, you know. And so when that happens, the stress goes somewhere.
It does.
It goes somewhere now. It don't just go away. You think it goes away, but it doesn't. Sometimes it's like it's, you know, it's here, it's up here, it's a lot of different places, right? And so when you have the understanding of those things, you're like, you might want to get some therapy, right? And can help you communicate better with your partner, right? Especially when you're going through trauma. What do most people do when they go through trauma? They bleed on their spouse, all over their family. They bleed all over out of, you know, they got the yelling, the screaming, the abuse, whatever the case is, because they're the closest thing to them, right? But I find when you get therapy, it teaches you how to communicate a whole lot better in ways that it's like, okay, you know what? I have another outlet, which is my therapist, but now I can actually, you know, I can actually, you know, be able to move and shake in a different way, right? And that's something that I think is invaluable. That is just that is just an amazing thing, for us, right, to have in our back pocket. So, you know, sticking on, you know, just your practice. So, what made you start your practice a few years ago?
I found out working in some of these agencies didn't fit for me because, unfortunately, there's some unethical practices going on. There was a couple of agencies, well, one in particular, the IRS came up in there, the police came up in there, shut it down. Because the owners were not doing what they should have been doing, right? And so I was like, I was like, this is not feeding me. It's a lot of frustration dealing with some of these agencies. A lot of they're like, see client, spit them out. See client, spit them out. See client, spit them out. And I was like, this is not conducive. A, going back to, we're talking about mental health. I had to take care of my mental health. And if I'm not doing that for me, how can I do that for anyone else? And so I know for me, if I'm just seeing clients like this, and I had to tell more than once, one of the owners, hey, I cannot be seeing eight clients in one day. I need to see four or five max. Because if you want me to be here as the good therapist, eight, seven, eight, six clients, that's too much. Well, I had to take care of my mental health, Terrence, because I noticed that for me, I had to, well, first obviously pray, God help me to do what I can't do it without God, but learn how to release all of that. You know, some people are like, oh, I can't be a therapist. And I understand that. This is only God graced me, not because I have any special powers, but to answer your question, I needed to be able to have some autonomy for my own time, my choices, and how I wanted to do therapy. As you know, when you're working for somebody, working in somebody's organization, you have to do things the way they see fit.
A
So
hundred
I'm
percent.
like, okay, well then I will do my own thing then. So to answer your question, it was all of that really started it. I was like, this is not working for me working at some of these agencies.
Understood, understood. So when it comes to like your own, right? Because I know sometimes they say, you know, Medical doctors need doctors, coaches need coaches, therapists need therapists. So when it comes to your own personal journey with grief, because like you, oddly like you, by the way, my dad passed away in 2016. I had to deal with a lot of just different things and grief on multiple levels. Certain things have happened, with my mom. Like I said, aneurysm, she lived, thankfully, whatever the case is, but grieving while she's alive, right? And, what was I saying? 2022, late 2022, she had two strokes. She's alive, but grieving, right? Grieving while somebody is alive is different than when somebody is gone, right? Looks like two different things, right? But nevertheless, for you and in your trials and tribulations in your grief journey and in your just things that traumas and stuff that you've had to go through in your life, because everybody has had them. So it's like a two-part question. One, how has your faith helped you with that? And two, what practices have you done to help yourself with your mental health journey?
As far as with the grieving, you're saying?
Yeah, grief, trauma, whatever the case is, what have you done to kind of help yourself with that process, right? Everybody's different. I have my processes, you might have yours. I kind of like to give the audience just a taste of just what do you do even as a therapist, just with your own, right? I mean, it's like, how do doctors take care of their own health, right? How do you take care of your own mental health when you go through different griefs and traumas and certain things, right? And then on the second part of that, how has your faith helped you with it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think was it I go to therapy. Like I think that year my father passed away in 2015, was that the first time? I think that's the first time I went to therapy. And so, I had different therapists here and there, and sometimes I wouldn't go for a while. But the therapist I have now, I've probably been with her 2, 3 years now. I don't go frequent, I don't go every week or every twice a month. I'm kind of infrequent. I need to be doing it more though, but I tell people all the time, I'm not ashamed. I have a therapist. Okay. I'll be the that's me. Yes, I have a therapist. And for me, my away time is I have to pull away to get refreshed. And when I say my is I love my family. I love my family, but I help a lot with my 9-year-old niece because her mom, sister-in-law passed away. And so she's like my baby. So again, she's nine. She doesn't have a mother. So she pulls on me as her mother figure since I've been helping raise her since she was 8 months old. And then my mom, she's here, but she can't drive anymore. And so I'm helping my family a lot, right? I've had to learn, and I'm still learning to put in boundaries. I have to do better at putting, I'll be honest, I have to do better at boundaries, but then going talking about so kind of the what do I do? But then the faith, I'm like, well, Lord, am I, you put me here to help, right? So I'm honestly transparent in this space of, okay, I want to help my mom because she can't drive anymore. How can I make sure I put those boundaries in, but still honor my mom, right? So the mental health, the seeing my therapist, learning to put in boundaries, I have to learn, and I'm still learning this. Again, I'm still transparent to put myself first. What does that look like for me? Even with my niece, like I live with my brother and my niece, and even though like my brother's work schedule, he works swing shifts. So my day, I get, I leave my office or whatever early enough to be at the house before he has to go to work. So it's like, okay, Lord, well, I'm here, but I have to learn how to say, okay, my niece, tell my brother she needs to spend the night at our mom's house once a month or something. Like I've got to really do that for me. So I feel like I need to do better about putting myself first when it comes to my family because I'm kind of like the helper in family. So I'm still learning to do that more effectively and efficiently with putting myself first. So to doing the things that fill me, Terrence, going to the park fills me. I love to dance and move. That fills me. So I do go to the gym, try to go to the gym at minimum once a week. So I do go to the gym. That fills me. So really doing what fills me in the moment. I think I sometimes set aside things, oh, I'll do it later. Because I'm too busy right now doing life, but I have to, as you know, we both know, It don't take nothing like this and somebody's gone, right? And so I'm learning to say in the moment, what do I need? If I need to pull away and go to the park right now, I will do that. If I need to pull away, meditate, go to my car, like at work, I'll go to my car, or I'll leave my office and I'll go to the park. I don't, there's a park down the street. I'll walk to the park. So in the moment, I'm learning to do that more often, even in real time. What do I need to feel me and to love work on me? Because I'm such a, I'll give up my time. What do you need? Okay, yeah, I have an hour. I'll pick, but I've gotta. I because that will deplete me, and then I'm like, why am I irritated? Because I've
Right.
given much. So
Right.
working on filling Toshiba with what Toshiba needs more readily.
I love that. I love that. And how has your faith kind of helped you with that?
You know what, being transparent, I'm in a new, I feel, have you heard of that? I think it's a scripture. We go from faith to faith, glory to glory. And I feel I'm in a, God is taking me to a new space of faith right now in my relationship with Him. And as we talk about church and the programming of church, I'm really, God is really setting on my heart to lean into Him more. And what I mean by that is, I don't feel like I was giving God my heart, but God is really teaching me in real time what it means to really lean completely on Him and Holy Spirit. So what that looks like, just to give the audience a example with it, for me, I would cry to God. I would say, God, I'm hurting, da, da, da. You know, I would talk to God, I would pray. But what I would do was, say I prayed at 10 o'clock. I pray, God, I'm hurting, da da da, crying, Lord. Okay, go about my day. At 2 o'clock, I might say, okay, Lord, I'm still hurting. But by 3 o'clock, if I'm still hurting, I wouldn't go to God. I would be like, well, I've already talked to God. I've already talked to you about it. Then I'll just find my coping skill. Again, which is not a bad thing. My coping skill was, I like to daydream. I like to be like, oh, I'm just gonna daydream. And so God had to show me. Yeah, but you're not giving me your whole heart. And my friend was saying, she was like, my friend, she's like, she goes, I've had to go to God 1,000 times about the same thing. I'm learning, even though I talked to God about it 500 times that day, God is like, still tell me. And I, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, will comfort you. Even though this is 501. And so God has been teaching me in real time, even though, yes, you're still hurting, still come to me. I'll comfort you every single time about that thing. So my faith, I feel like in this time, God is really increasing my faith in A, how much He loves me, that I don't have to earn His love, that sometimes the church, the serving, the striving, gotta do this. God is really teaching me some new things. That was my prayer. God, I want to know so there's a scripture, Holy Spirit talks about bringing me to all truth, the Holy Spirit realm. So I'm in this new interesting space, Terrence, of allowing the Holy Spirit to bring me into all truth and really relying on the love of God to fill me in all of these spaces. So when I am feeling anxious, when I'm feeling that anxiety, when I am feeling sadness, melancholy, sometimes depressed, yeah, Lord, but okay, my faith is that I will go to God because His word is true and I can rely on that. And when I go to God every, even if it's the 700th time, my faith shows that God has been, He comforts me. He's comforting me in this time, even though it does hurt, but He's comforting me. And now that is strengthening me to know that I can go to God. I don't have to go to my coping skill. So again, my coping skill was daydreaming, and others people's may be working, drinking, eating, whatever the case may be. So
Ooh, eating.
that is my faith. And again, I probably have another coping skill because I do like to snack. I'll be honest with you. I love
Oh,
cookies.
man.
Me and
Cookies.
cookies.
Yo, me too. Yo, man, the chocolate chips be hidden. The chocolate chips be
I'm
hidden.
like, let me pray, but I want a cookie too.
Oh, man, I'm too. Ooh, man.
So I need to work on the gluttony. I'll talk to the 100, right? Transparency. I do have a snack. But hopefully that answered your question with the mental
Absolutely does.
and then working on feeding Toshiba, really giving my heart to God and everything that I'm feeling.
We have just a couple more things. But so I remember an elder when I was younger telling me, listen, if you've never been upset with God or questioned God, that means you ain't really been walking. That means you ain't really been doing nothing. That means you ain't really been through this. But then on the flip side, then you got Christian. You mad at God? You, oh no, you can't get mad at God. You hold on now. So I want to know from you, have you ever been gone through a season to where you were mad at God or disappointed or you know, just in a place of, man, I don't want to hear from you I'm hot, I'm mad, I'm grieving, or whatever that is, right? You know, because that always stuck with me when I was younger and I heard an elder say that. I didn't get it at first, but then as I got older, I was like, this is what they meant. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, right? But that sometimes that could be sacrilegious to say. So, you know, but have you ever been in that season yet
Oh
in your
yeah.
walk?
Oh yeah. And I'm again, this is full transparency.
Yes.
I have said some things to God that I'm like, ooh, thank you, Lord, for not cursing, for not killing me. God could have wiped me out because I kept it 100 with God. I tell God something like, God, I'm not feeling you. God, I don't, I'm not feeling you, Lord. And I've said some worse things to God. So thank you, but I'm still here. Okay. But I'm like, God, I don't understand. You're not making sense. Like, what are you really doing? So I have been upset at God. But my cousin would remind me, he was like, God already knows how you feel. And God is not offended. God is like, let him have his moment. I know you're upset. Still here. Once you have your moment, come back. You'll come, for thank God that we, some people don't come back. Some people are like, I'm deuces. And that's a different conversation. But to answer your question, yeah, I've been mad, I've cried, but thank you, Lord, for keeping me that even in my frustration, he kept me enough, even in my crying and God, he brought me back to my right mind to say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry, I was upset. I know that you know what's best. And God had to teach me how to humble myself and recognize God, even though we don't understand, even though, yes, we're hurting, God knows what's best. He's the creator of the universe. People over here talking about the worship in the universe. God is the creator of the universe. So God has
Talk.
honestly been teaching me to humble myself and to wait a second. Do I know? I don't know anything. I didn't create nothing in this world. But yes, I have been angry. I'm frustrated, but God has been able to keep me so
Well,
that my right mind.
one, thank you for your honesty and your transparency. That sometimes I can always appreciate real people who talk real things. And sometimes I can't take the heads in the clouds and that this stuff never happens. Like, okay, all right. So we're not being honest. So I appreciate you being honest. I appreciate you being honest on this show. So I kind of want to get into your dance ministry. I love what you're doing. And I want to get into the books, right? So start with your dance ministry. What led you to kind of begin this dance ministry and things like that?
Well, I've always had a heart for dance from yay high. I remember dancing, so God put that in me. So I've always had a love for dance. I had wanted to go to Hollywood, going back to Hollywood, shake it fast, drop it like it's hot, right? But God was like, yeah, no, I didn't give you that. I didn't give you that gift to do that. And so I was like, okay, so how am I going to use it? My marriage, my therapist reminded me. She was like, use, because I was getting kind of weary with therapy. She was like, what do you love to do? Bring that, combine them. And so I'm like, okay. And so lo and behold, I was like, well, I love to dance. And that's when I became certified as a life coach. And I wanted to start incorporating dance more on the coaching side, the coaching and dancing. And so then I started doing some dance classes, but not just five, six, seven, eight, and turn, jump. No, it's not just that. It's empowering women. So I do choreo and whatnot and teach it, but then I have various empowerment activities and exercises for the women to love themselves, take over themselves, and to release. So I have an exercise where I choose a word. For example, I'll say release. I'll say, okay, what do you feel you need to release that you're holding on to? And then I'll say, now I want you to visualize what does that look like if you're using your body? And then I have them do that move, whatever that release move looks like, a freedom move. What I choose a theme for my classes, and whatever theme I chose, I have them think of that word, and then I have them show it in their bodies.
Love that. Love
But
that.
that's how I do my dance empowerment workshop. And I I enjoy it. It fills me, and by God's grace, I've gotten great feedback from the women up on it.
I love that. I
And
love
I
that. Women
apologize for the
empowerment.
background. My niece is singing. So.
Hey, it's all good. We love the kids. We love the kids. That's beautiful. And we're gonna get into how people can get to your classes in just a moment, but I want to touch on your books really quick. From Stress to Rest, and then there's Daily Press on, and you can find those on Amazon.com. Show that, show that. From Stress to Rest.
Yes.
Yes. Definitely, please, everybody, go pick that up. So tell us what it's about.
So it's a daily devotional. A daily devotional for anybody can get it. And so this is all God driven because he told me to do it alphabetically. So it's daily entries about real life. Anxiety is the first word. I talk about disappointment. I talk about suicidal thoughts here. So I put entries about some things that I've experienced and maybe some other people that I know, and then I end with a prayer. But the thing I do like about the end of this, I have the people reading do an exercise. So I have some homework at the end for people. So for, and again, I've gotten great feedback, but it talks about real life frustrations, the prayers of getting to that place of rest and peace from the things of life.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Daily Press.
Yes, Daily Press right here. The diamond, you know, the diamonds from coal to diamonds, right? That means, well, it's kind of hard to see, but
Because you got your blur background.
I don't even know how to take it off right now. But
No, it's all good.
Daily Presses came from, again, real life stuff. I just to encourage people who ever want to write a book, start from what you experienced,
100%.
right? From what you, people are like, what do I write about? What are the frustrations? What are the discouragement and depression? That's what this is from, the things that have frustrated me, the embarrassment. Why do things happen? You know, things that, and I say daily press because every day we wake up and we have to press against something, but God has given us the Holy Spirit to walk those things out. So that's what this book is about. And to remember, what are we becoming, even in the midst of those frustrating things? What are we becoming out of those? And so I do have, there's in this one, this is a lot of reflection, and I ask questions as well, a lot of reflection in here as well.
I love that. I love that. So tell the people where they can go and book, or check out the events that you have for your empowerment classes for women.
Yes. So obviously, you can either reach me at my website, www.toshibadavis.com. Again, that's my full name, toshibadavis.com. I am on, you know, these lovely social medias, IG, Instagram. It's From Stress to Rest. That's From Stress to Rest. And in IG, it's spelled out exactly how it sounds, TOTO, From Stress to Rest. On TikTok, From Stress to Rest as well. However, on TikTok, it's the number two, From Stress to Rest. And I put my flyers predominantly on those social media platforms. However, it's monthly, every month, the fourth Saturday of the month. Fourth Saturday of the month, every Saturday at Rhythms Dance Studio. Rhythms Dance Studio.
Rhythm Dance Studio.
Yes, it won't be February the 4th of February because I already had my dance class this month earlier. But from then on, it's going to be the fourth Saturday of the month.
Wonderful. And of course, the books. Tell the people where they can get the books. I know it's Amazon.com. Is it anywhere else?
Right now, just Amazon.com or other books. The couple of the books that just recently put on there as well, Breaking the Chains. That's a workbook for women about overcoming negative thoughts that we have about negative messaging that a lot of women have, we've heard over the years, society, friends, family. So Breaking the Chains is also on Amazon. And also I have a dance workbook that is on Amazon, and it talks about some of the things about the different words and how to show up in your body and to release those things.
I love that. And all of that will be in the body of this podcast, and you'll be able to click on those links and take you directly to the websites, the books. Please support Toshiba as she's putting a lot of amazing material out there. And not to put you on the spot, but I would love to invite you back on the show. I kind of have some ideas.
I
I
love
kind of
it.
have an idea
I
already.
mean,
We'll talk about it offline, but
you and I could talk for hours, literally.
I kind of have an idea. I'll talk to you about that offline, but the one thing I would ask you to do now is listen, before we get you out of here, is if you have an empowering word for anybody out there that's struggling, that is going through things with, with grief, with trauma, with unpacking things, and people out there are struggling, they're suffering in silence. Is there anything out there that you would tell someone, young or old, older, right? Who's just going through, right? And they don't feel seen or heard. What would Toshiba tell them?
The short version, I'll tell you the short version is show yourself some compassion and remind yourself daily that you matter and that you are enough. We've got to learn how to love ourselves and to not expect, sometimes we expect external validation, external affirmation, but something that I heard that I want to tell you. You are valuable just as you are. Think of a baby. When babies are born, we view them as this beautiful, wonderful being, right? Life happens, but when we see that baby, they're valuable just because of who they are. We've got to remind ourselves, we too are valuable just because of who we are, just because we are here, not because of our accomplishments, because of our titles, not because somebody said something. Go back and remind yourself in that moment. If I see a baby as valuable just because the baby's here, I too am just as valuable.
I love that. I love that. Everybody, this is Toshiba Davis. She is amazing on so many levels. And please go support her, go buy her books, check it out. I know that they are empowering, especially for women. The work that she's doing with women is absolutely amazing. So please definitely go support our sister here. As she's doing the work, she's putting the work in. And she's doing it, for people like us and for people in general who just need an outlet, who need a way, who need to be seen and heard. And she's providing that light and different resources for healing. So Toshiba, I just want to thank you so much for coming on Conversations of the Heart. Keep doing your thing. Keep being a blessing to others. And I pray that God will be a blessing to you as well. Definitely appreciate you for coming on the show.
And I wish the best for you in every area of your life.
I appreciate that. Again, this has been Conversation of the Heart with T Till, special guest Toshiba Davis. Stay tuned for the next episode next week. It's your boy T Till. Peace.